The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
Good Monday morning to you. Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. November 4th, Field and Matthew hanging out to recap all things from week 9. What's going on, partner?
Are we hanging out?
It's like, this is the most
impressive.
Can
we just get through an intro without there being a thing?
I mean, just want to know. I just like, because I feel like if we're hanging out, we should have beers. We should have a craft beer.
I think I'm drinking.
What do you think this is? Nice.
Yeah.
We should have a craft beer for a field. I'd have a margarita.
Just to get through the podcast.
Yeah, a little coffee. Yeah. Coffee. Delicious coffee. Yeah,
and Thirsty Kyle throws up at 10 a.m. Yeah, and the answer is you're damn right at 10 a.m. I'll tell you this much. You know who had the greatest gig in all of broadcasting is Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Oh my God, they're amazing!
Right,
they were amazing.
They
right?
were amazing, and Kathy Lee's no longer there, but she retired. Right, she left the show. But yeah, they would just blatantly drink on air.
Yeah,
like at first they would just try to hide it, and then they just own it. And like hats off to them. Those guys are my heroes.
Like so they went if we to start off by hiding. Does that mean we have a chance to make this happen or no?
No, like they should. Because here's the thing:
if we
here's
hide
the difference.
It.
Yeah, no, because here's the thing about Kathy Lee and Hoda. Kathy Lee and Hoda,
they're
especially
lovable,
Kathy
and they have
Lee,
cachet and they're great.
No, they in addition to being broadcasting legends, they got to truly, and it's an elite level, and not many people ever get there, but they got truly to the DGAF level of broadcasting.
What does that mean?
You're gonna have to look it up after the show. But anyway, so they got to the DGAF. Go ahead and look it up while I continue talking. And so it's rare to get, like, you know, Charles Barkley, I think, is at that
Ooh.
Level, right? You know what I mean? Like, the DGAF level. I feel like I'm at that level on this podcast.
Can I
Secret
say
Secret Squirrel, do you
can
think?
I, say what it
I
says?
Don't know if you're at that level, but you are currently putting in that level of effort. Yes, that is accurate.
Yes. That is fair. That's exactly
That's a really good way of putting
really
it. You may actually GAF,
yeah.
but your effort suggests you D.
Fair.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
All right, all but one game in the books, and unfortunately for the Colts, yet another injury has struck them on offense. We found out on Friday that T.Y. Hilton was going to miss likely 3 or so weeks because of that calf issue. And then yesterday, Jacoby Brissett had his ankle rolled up on. As a matter of fact, it was his own offensive lineman, Quentin Nelson, who was like a bowling ball. Who struck the ankle first, inadvertently, of course. It's a week-to-week type situation. Frank Reich, the Colts head coach, yesterday after the game said it was MCL-ish.
Right.
Sounds like a sprain. So there's a
right.
chance, Matthew.
By the way, I'm MCL-ish, just so you know.
Are you sure?
Positive.
You know what that means?
Yeah, just I feel like
you're
it's
MCL-ish,
sort of...
you DGAF. What else is there?
Yeah, I'm a little bendy-ish. It just I feel like
bendy-ish.
It means like you're not 100% healthy. Like
Mike
you're
Mayock
just sort of day-to-day. You're just,
now.
You're
yeah.
just, you're ish.
Okay, you're ish.
Ish. I'm certainly MCU-ish.
Ish? Adjacent is what I would say. Yeah. More
MCU
adjacent.
All right.
So
no. I'm in the MCU. I'm ish.
Okay.
I'm
yeah.
ish. I'm not, right, I'm not, right. you know, listen, I'm at the bottom of the list. Make no mistake. When they do the big party, when they do the big MCU party and they're sending out the invites, I'm the last one to get one.
No,
make no
you
mistake.
Know you are,
but
you
I'm
know
in the
are,
door.
Matthew? No,
I'm
I
in the door.
I know what you are.
What's that?
So you know when you watch a movie and at the end they roll the credits
yeah.
and obviously everybody just gets out before the credits have really even begun. It's just like whatever, like, you know.
Not in a Marvel movie because there's always an end credit scene, but go ahead.
But
I'll play along.
What I was going to say is that, like, you know, and then like inadvertently like, you sign back into, let's say, your Disney Plus account and you go back there and you open up the movie that you last watched and you're like, wow, the credits are still rolling. And it's like you're just about to get to the end and it's like Matthew Berry in teeny tiny font.
That's right.
That's you.
Yes. That
yeah.
is me.
Okay, let's
That's
get
right.
back to the football.
Part
we have a
credit.
Lot to get to today,
All
Matthew.
Right, so yeah, so MCL, so MCL-ish for Jacoby Brissett.
Along with T.Y. Hilton going to miss a few weeks. So there was a conversation to be had about the wide receivers, as it were. But the fact that Jacoby Brissett is out now, let's talk about the value and begin with the pass catchers, Matthew. Zach Pascal had a nice day yesterday. Your long shot on Fantasy Football Now or is your
my
bold
long
call?
Shot, long no, shot. It was my long yeah. shot, Zach Pascal and Chester Rogers, both
yep.
of whom got into the end zone.
Thank you for that.
And then,
yeah.
and then Will Cain asked me which one, if he had to pick one, and I said, give me Pascal over Chester Rogers. I like both. Both guys scored, but Pascal has the better day, 5 for 76 and a touchdown. He now has 4 touchdowns in the 4 games in which he's gotten 3 or more targets this year.
He makes the waiver call, Matthew, and I think that just for now, given that T.Y. Hilton's going to miss probably 3 games, somebody has to be the number one wide receiver in the Indy offense. And not to bear the lead here, Matthew, but I'm not sure that from a passing efficiency standpoint, it's a significant step down from Jacoby Brissett to Brian Hoyer. No, make no mistake. Jacoby Brissett's the starter and deserves to be the starter. But Brian Hoyer is, like, he is the ultimate backup quarterback in the NFL. Like, he has been a backup in so many different spots and stepped in and done such a favorable job. Bears, 49ers, Browns, Patriots, you name it. Well, he never really played for the Patriots, but he was part of the Patriots' backup room. So he's definitely been trusted to run an offense before and done so at a very admirable level.
Yeah, look, and by the way, he came in and,
15-plus fantasy points.
I was going to say, yeah, 17-26, 168, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception on the road while taking 4 sacks. So, I mean, look, that was a tough schedule. And then you think about their upcoming schedule. They're home to Miami this week. They're home to a Jaguars defense that, looked certainly penetrable, over in London. And they've suffered some injuries as well. The Jaguars certainly have. And then at Houston, that's a secondary that's super beat up and been brutal. And then you get Tennessee in 4 weeks at home, and that's a home game for them. And by the way, Brissett and Hilton may be back, but for the Tennessee game.
Right.
So I would think Brian Hoyer, if you're looking to, with 6 teams on a bye this week, does Brian Hoyer make the free agent fines column as a 1 week streamer at home against Miami? Because I think he should.
But there are a couple. I might add him in. It's not a bad idea. I've got a couple of streaming options in mind for week 10. He was not at the top of my list, but he could be there. He could be there. And so I think that, but we agree though, it keeps the passing game afloat. Zach Pascal is the guy you want to add amongst these Colts pass catchers. And a footnote here. Footnote. I know you mentioned Chester Rogers, and he did find the end zone yesterday, 3 catches. Let's keep an eye on Paris Campbell. Campbell, the second round pick out of Ohio State. And as I said this on Fantasy Football Now, it kind of feels like the Colts are ready. Like, they're sort of urging him on here. Like, it's time, Paris. Like, you're too talented not to have made more progress up to this point. He had 5 catches. I believe he had a run or two yesterday as well.
5 for 53 on 5 targets. It was tied for second on the team. Pascal had 6 leading the team. Chester Rogers and Paris Campbell each had 5 targets. But to your point, yes. 3 rushes for 27 yards. Paris Campbell, especially with T.Y. Hilton sideline, is the fastest guy on that team.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's particularly close. Like, so when they're trying to get speed and trying to figure out different ways to manufacture offense as they're dealing with these injuries, it makes sense to try to get the ball in the hands of Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell's, I assume, is already rostered in every dynasty league, every keeper league. You know, he came out of Ohio State with a lot of fanfare and rightfully so. But I would agree with you. I think Paris Campbell for deeper leagues, deeper redraft leagues, is kind of an interesting guy to see if he can seize this opportunity.
I think he's a week away from making the waiver wire column.
Sure,
I agree. In a deep league, though, but the thing about it is, it's 6 teams on a bye. It's really hard to just speculatively add players that you're not quite there yet. Marlon Mack carries the ball 21 times for 89 yards, but disappointingly had 0 catches yesterday. So still very much a ground and pound player for that offense. And along those lines, Matthew.
But you know what? But here's the thing. Nyheim Hines only caught 1 ball, only got 3 targets. So it's, for whatever reason, what they felt like how they could attack Pittsburgh didn't involve getting the running backs involved.
Yep. They found a way to move the football effectively through the air just with other players. Now,
and they should have won the game. You know, it's tough that, the missed field goal at the end of regulation.
They've got a decision to make on Adam Vinatieri. And I say that with literally the utmost respect.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
He's the most impactful kicker in the history of football. Adrian Peterson has a chance to put himself in at least the conversation as one of the most impactful runners of his generation. He looks good again, Matthew. So, all right. Don't really know where to go here with Adrian Peterson because the workload is solid, right? I mean, and Bill Callahan, if nothing else, wants to run the football.
Yes, he does. He wants to establish the run. Bill Callahan's a football guy.
He is such a football guy.
However, he is totally a football guy.
Adrian Peterson's available in about 41% of leagues, but he was benched by more than half the people that actually roster him in week 9. But
which
I get it.
Which you get. It's on the road at Buffalo.
Yeah, of course.
Rookie quarterback. I get it.
So
sure.
I guess it comes down to
But this. He ran. I mean, I just want to take a moment as a Redskins fan.
He's the only thing that I can appreciate in that
offense. I want to just applaud Adrian Peterson for 1 second for in a season in which you guys are now 1-8. They're 1-7, going on the road with a rookie quarterback, beat up offensive line. Your best tackle is not playing for the team. The culture, despite reports, is not damn good. Like, it's just an awful situation, and yet Adrian Peterson, how old is he, 34?
34, yep.
At age 34, is going out there and running like an absolute beast. And you want to talk about DGAF, that is Adrian Peterson, who is not looking at the scoreboard, not looking at the standings, and just going out there and doing his job, and really impressively. And so I just admire the effort.
No question.
I admire the effort.
He is running incredibly hard, as he always does. But there are a couple of buts. They go into a bye this weekend.
Yep.
And beyond that,
Darius
Geis is scheduled or is eligible to return in week 11.
And now, he's been practicing. Geis has been practicing.
So
did Geis make the free agent fines column?
I have to go check to see. He made it last week. I have to check to see whether he crossed the threshold. My guess is probably not. My guess that along those lines, I could probably save him for one more week and mention him again next week. He did not cross the 50% threshold, is what Daniel is telling me. I might put him in there as like a note. Hey, you know, available in week 11. But Matthew, with the way that Adrian Peterson is running and the fact that it is Bill Callahan as the head coach, I would be very surprised if Adrian Peterson fades away, which at the beginning of the season, Darius Geis was the guy for what, a week and a half, basically?
Adrian Peterson was a healthy scratch for the first time in his career in week one.
Yes. And then in week two, he barely played prior to the Geis injury. So I think things change.
Yep.
I think it's maybe at best a work share for Darius Geis. So, and by the way, no matter who it is, like even though Adrian Peterson's run well like over the past few weeks, has to find the end zone to be fantasy relevant.
Sure.
Has to have 15 to 18 carries and a touchdown for him to be fantasy relevant.
Yeah. But not really involved in the passing game. But again, on the road at Buffalo against a tough Bills defense, 16 for 110, a catch for 22, had 14.2 fantasy points. He now has over 75 rushing yards in four straight games. He's got 90% of the Redskins running back carries in this particular stretch. Wendell Smallwood hasn't really done much. Chris Thompson's still banged up. It'll be interesting to see what happens out of the bye. But I think your point here is well made, which is that Bill Callahan wants to run the ball. And so, I think you'll see Geis come on and have a significant role, but I don't think Peterson fades away. And so maybe this becomes a running back by committee, and it's just another guy that they can go in and sort of run. But I just wanted to sort of mention it. Number one is just to give some props, and also just, you know, in deeper league, he may be more of an option than I think we originally gave credence to for Adrian Peterson. By the way, real quickly, before we move on to the next topic, this has nothing to do with fantasy, but I just want to point out, and Field, I don't know if if you can put on your front office NFL insider hat for a second.
Okay.
Reports were out there, and I don't know if you heard these. Reports were out here that the Redskins actually fielded interest in Adrian Peterson, that people called about him at the trade deadline.
Okay, yeah.
And were turned down.
Okay.
Which is, again, insane to me that the front office of the Redskins would, tremendous respect for Adrian Peterson and the effort he's putting in. But he's a 34-year-old on a one-year deal. Like, he's a free agent at the end of this year.
Two-year deal.
He signed another two-year deal?
It was a two-year deal, yep.
I thought it was a two-year deal last year.
2 years this offseason, this past
2 years this offseason, yep. All right. Whatever.
Here's my guess.
If they'd got a conditional seventh-round pick, they should have done it.
Here's where I disagree.
Okay.
Remember the uproar over Adrian Peterson being a healthy scratch in week one?
Yes.
If they gave him away, which in the eyes of a player, of another player, if you traded away Adrian Peterson for a sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick, players would be in over their heads in Washington more than they probably already are.
But,
because I made this comparison before.
But let's play that out. Okay, let's say that happens. Let's say they lose the locker room. What happens? Are we then 1-9? Are we one? I mean, what? Play that out. Like, by the way, they should revolt. They should revolt. And by the way, they should.
We had a rule. We had an agreement. No more revolting. I mean, no more you being
fine. I just. It's
you're
just,
right
it's
there
such
in
a,
the driver's
such a,
seat for the
it's
number
a
one
dysfunctional.
Pick.
It's just it's the worst run. I'm going to go further than it's not the worst run pro. It's not the worst run NFL team. It's the worst run professional franchise.
We should have a podcast. Let's do an offseason podcast where we go through our candidates because I got to figure they're up there. I mean, there are some other moribund franchises right now. The Sacramento Kings forever have stunk. They have some promise right now, but they're up there. Phoenix Suns are bad.
Phoenix Suns are winning these.
Talk to me in a month. All right. The Grizzlies were 4-2 last year and they stunk. They had the number two pick. I'm just telling you.
I'd rather be a Phoenix Suns fan than a Redskins fan.
Probably. Anyways.
I mean, come on.
Let's move on to the Dolphins. A team that actually has a plan. The Dolphins also have a win. Let's go!
By the way, that's a board bet win for you. Nice job. Congratulations.
You're touchdown to a field goal now after this.
Oh, it's 7-3? What were the results? So we updated that.
Three board bets last week. Quickly, I'll run through them. Jets versus Dolphins. I picked the Dolphins. You picked the Jets.
You won that one. Congratulations.
Yep. Patriots defense versus Lamar Jackson. I had Lamar Jackson. You had Patriots defense.
I lost that one.
Just won that one. Yeah. And then we had the Bills running backs. Frank Gore versus Devin Singletary.
So I won
you
that
with
one.
A decisive TKO right there. Let's get to the Dolphins, though.
Yeah.
One of Frank Gore's previous teams. And, okay, the Dolphins enter week 9 as the lowest scoring offense in the NFL. 11.0 points per game. But yesterday they get a win. and they continue to string it together with like four players that matter, Matthew. And that's where I think this gets interesting, because have they done enough to tell you that there are multiple players in this offense that actually have fantasy value? And I'm looking specifically at Devontae Parker and Preston Williams at wide receiver, Mark Walton at running back, and Mike Gesicki because he has a TE next to him in right. terms of his position eligibility.
So I think there are, I think we can get through a couple of these quickly.
Okay.
For Mark Walton, no.
Yeah, and like Walton, he's a deeper league flex at best.
I don't even think that. Like, again, like 12 for 29, three catches for 12 yards. He had seven fantasy points in a game in which they played the Jets, and a game in which they won and they led. So, I mean, like, if you can't do it against the Jets, in that scenario, when do you ever think Mark Walton's going to be able to do it?
My thought
they're
is
at,
just...
They're at Indy next week, then home to Buffalo, at Cleveland, and like then home to Philly. At the No, thank you. No, thank you on Mark Walton. Like,
deeper
I would drop...
League.
I have no problem... Like, Secret Squirrel and I on the fantasy show on ESPN+, Plus. I'm a company man. Later today, we might be doing a Dumpsville. Are we doing a Dumpsville? Do you know?
I believe that we are.
Okay. Mark Walton will be welcome to Dumpsville
okay,
in the show
okay.
later today.
Okay, so Mike Gesicki?
Yeah. Mike Gesicki is interesting, like speculative, just because he's a tight end, to your point, right? And this is a guy that was drafted out of Penn State with a lot of fanfare. A lot of people thought going to an Adam Gase offense that he would be fantasy relevant. He did not, and that offense was, you know, and Adam Gase is now a coach of the New York Jets. But Gesicki was somebody that came into the NFL with promise
yep.
and upside. And so we saw him be productive in college. We saw him be productive on Sunday. So
he's fine.
Worth a speculative ad.
Maybe.
If you're desperate at tight end. But my suspicion is that there are other tight ends I would rather have. Like, I'd rather have either Jack Doyle or Eric Ebron with Brian Hoyer.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's like, they're all kind of part of the blech to me, right? They're all part of the, like, I'm not Evan Ingram or Travis Kelce. B-L-E-H-G-H. The extra ugh, for emphasis.
See, I think I always feel like there's a C in there. I think it's B-L-E-C-H.
Okay, I have no idea. Anyways, let's get to the other players, though, Matthew, because there might be some
pull
fantasy.
Quickly, please, on correct spelling
no,
of Blex.
No, because that won't be like, well, it's going to be spelled. Kyle's going to have to interpret it himself.
What's the correct spelling? What's the correct spelling of this word?
Okay.
And then it's
he can
Black
decide.
And then B-L-E-A-G-H and B-L-E-C-H.
Okay. In any event, Devontae Parker and Preston Williams might actually be
yes,
interesting.
Those two
because,
are the interesting ones.
49 targets over the last six games for right. Preston Williams. Big, physical, undrafted wide receiver out of Colorado State. And then Devontae Parker, four catches, 57 yards and a touchdown yesterday. He's got a touchdown reception in four of his past five games. Tell you, maybe the magic eventually runs out, but as somebody who has him in the War Room League, Matthew, I have been riding the gravy train right now with Devontae Parker.
Yeah, under 60 yards in six of the last seven. He's basically, he's touchdown dependent at the sure. moment for his fantasy value. Having said that, it's a bad defense. Fitzpatrick is a professional NFL quarterback. As long as Fitzy is the quarterback, I feel okay with Devontae Parker as a wide receiver three in a 12-team or deeper league.
I want somebody up
but
target.
Here's, but, and I think there's potential for upside more because Preston Williams left this game
yep.
with an injury.
Twice,
yeah. Yeah, so if I knew both guys were healthy, I think I would prefer Preston Williams to Devontae Parker. I just think he's the better player.
Sure.
He was a star in the preseason. He had a monster preseason as well.
Yep.
Hashtag team preseason. And so Preston Williams is, you know, somebody that they obviously like a lot, and they like a lot in the red zone, you know, taking advantage of that 6'5 frame. But again, if he's hurt, even more targets for Devontae Parker. But I agree with you. Both sort of, you know, both should make the free agent finds column if they have not already field.
Both do, yes. But I've had them on there for like 4 weeks.
You've had them for a while.
It's not
happening. Yeah. It is what it is.
All right.
You've done what you could.
I agree on this, by the way. I want someone to start collecting the worst of the worst when it comes to officiating, because I saw Devontae Parker have it was a catch for 39 yards yesterday.
Yeah.
It was called for pass interference, offensive pass interference. Literally, he got hugged by Brian Poole, the Jets defensive player. It was obviously not pass interference. Brian Flores correctly challenged it, and somehow the call stood. So that 60 yards or fewer in six of his past seven games, in my mind, is five of his past seven games. He was robbed of nearly 40 extra yards yesterday. Anyways,
which by the way, no, but it's fair. And I think, you know, I forget who tweeted this. I saw somebody that I follow tweet this, and so I apologize because this is not my thought, but I thought this was a great thought, which is that somehow the NFL, leave it to the NFL to add replay for officiating and still somehow make officiating worse, because which is what they've done. which is what the, like they added the ability to challenge pass interference calls and use replay, and they've somehow made officiating worse because what they're doing is they're sticking up for their guys. They're like, oh, we don't want to admit that you made a that you guys screwed up. And anyway, that's
all right. So we should we stop? So what's it? Stop trying to make fetch happen. Is that what that is? Fetch?
Yeah, fetch.
Should we stop trying to make Sam Darnold happen?
I think so.
Because we kept saying, hey, weeks 9 through 14, the schedule lets up so substantially. And it was week 9 yesterday. You know what Sam Darnold did? He sucked.
Yeah.
He stunk. He was terrible.
Boo.
Is that a ghost?
Boo.
The Jets seeing ghosts?
Not Jets. Just Sam Darnold.
Just Boo. Sam Darnold himself?
Boo.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Spooky, spooky.
The whole offense was terrible yesterday. They lost.
You're in South Beach.
The narrative this morning, there are questions being asked about Adam Gase and whether he's the right man for the job, whether he is going to be good enough to correct this ship.
Oh, Sam Darnold. Oh.
You done?
Yeah.
Okay. Any event.
I threw an interception.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Sam Darnold yesterday, though, just 12.5 fantasy points.
That is my one-man play, by the way. Sam Darnold versus the Ghost.
Okay.
I'll do it real quickly, just a quick recap. Just, spooky, spooky, Sam.
Wow, so funny.
I'm coming
so funny.
For you.
Yeah.
Ah! Interception.
All right, so.
There you go. Thank you very much. End scene.
Sam Darnold has just one game this season with over 13 fantasy points. He's placed five in total. Remember that in that game against Dallas back in week 6, the only way he got there was because of that 92-yard touchdown pass against Robbie Anderson. So are we done with the Jets basically as an offense?
No, we are not done with the Jets as an offense because I think we're just done with Sam Darnold.
Okay.
And I'll cop to this. Like, just a bad call by me. Like, I really thought
you and everybody
Darnold.
Else, stop.
Listen,
come on.
We're,
not
we're,
one
all of us.
To, don't take the L on this. We all thought Sam Darnold was going to be good from weeks 9 to 14.
The other people can share in this L, but I'm going to own it. You know what I mean? Like, I was definitely like, when Mahomes went down, I was like, pick up Sam Darnold and look at the schedule and like, whatever. Like, he was on the love list for me this week, right? And just, if you can't do it against Miami, like, what confidence do you have that he can do it against the Giants next week or at Washington even? Or, you know, I mean, home to Oakland. Like, he'll have a good game in here or two. It's an unbelievable schedule. But when you can't do it against Miami, again, like, the NFL averages 23 fantasy points per game against opposing quarterbacks average 23 fantasy points per game against the Dolphins. Sam Darnold put up 12.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, brutal.
Here's
just
the problem.
Brutal.
Okay, so, a couple
but
of things.
But let's move on to the other Jets players, which is, do I think Jamison Crowder, who had 8 for 82, and I think that was all in the first half. Thursday.
It was not all in the first half. It just felt that way.
Is that what it was?
A lot of it. I think he had 4 for 50 in the first, 5 for 40 in his first two drives. I mean, he had a monster start to the game yesterday. Obviously, it slowed down, but he's been solid in the games that Sam Darnold has started. That's the one thing you can sort of hang your hat on with this offense, but.
And Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell had a decent fantasy game.
But like, okay, you're right, he did. But the problem is that Le'Veon Bell was drafted this year by many people to be...
Not this guy.
To be a star, right? And he
That's
has
right.
And the problem is that the offense is not going to score touchdowns. And he's not a yards per carry guy.
By the way, he just isn't.
Behind that offensive line, he is not.
By the way, I'll take the L on Sam Darnold, but I would like some apologies from all you Le'Veon Bell apologists. Like, I got so much great. Le'Veon Bell was on my hate list.
Right. Yeah.
I had Le'Veon Bell, I think, at 12 or 13 among running backs coming into the year. And I got so much grief on that particular call.
Why so high on him?
Other people had him as a top five overall pick and a top five running back. I'm not going to name names, but I just.
Daniel Dobb.
Daniel was one of them.
Trey Wingo,
tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't know about Trey. Yeah. I didn't look at Trey's rankings, but certainly there were a lot of people that were very, very high on Le'Veon Bell, and I got into many arguments about Le'Veon Bell about this. So anyway, like this is what he is, guys. And by the way, he's healthy. This is somebody who has struggled with that in his issue. I'll tell you one person that I know for a fact argued with me about this, and it's Le'Veon Bell, who told everyone to draft him number one overall in fantasy. There you go. Not so easy to be a fantasy analyst, is it, Le'Veon Bell? There you go. Once again, you lied to us. 2 years ago, you lied to us and said, hey, I'm going to be there. And then, of course, you didn't. And then this year, you said, draft me number one overall in fantasy. And you know what? You're not. What is he now on a points per game basis? He's running back what? Thirsty Kyle? Figure that out for me. Thank you.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell, what he is not the superstar that we had hoped for.
He's an RB2.
Yeah, he's an RB2 right now. And going forward, this Jets offense, incredibly disappointing. Hey, Matthew, you have some advice for you.
Are you rolling out Robbie Anderson?
No.
You're going to wait to see it?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Of course.
I think that's the correct call.
He stinks. I have an idea. You know what?
You have an idea?
Stop sacrificing taste for performance when it comes to sports nutrition.
No, what if I want to do that?
Well, stop doing that. The Body Tag brand has flavors as mighty as you are, like cereal-inspired protein. Mmm, God, that sounds good. And more, all powered by Level Up Taste Technology and only at the Vitamin Shop. Now you can save on pre-workouts, aminos, protein, and other sups backed by the Body Tech brand's quality promise. Use the code ESPN2019 for 25% off your entire purchase at vitaminshop.com. Now that's SHOPPE.com or in store until November 30th. The Body Tech brand, no limits. The offer cannot be combined with any other coupons. Now, after two big fantasy weeks, at least according to the box score, should you actually be selling David Montgomery? Because Daniel Dopp feels very strongly.
Before we move on to David Montgomery very quickly, running back 17.
Running back 17.
Running back 17. I had him as running back 12 or 13. Thirsty College.
Very high on him. Yeah.
I was wrong. I was too high on Le'Veon Bell at running back 12 or 13, but everyone that drafted him is a top five guy, top five overall.
Here we go. Let's get things rolling here with David Montgomery, Matthew. Back-to-back games of great fantasy output. Yesterday, he had 22.6 fantasy points, and yet Daniel Dopp is saying, get him out of your lineup. Trade him away. Not get him out as a bench, but trade him away right now. Because
feels very
line
strongly. Secret Squirrel, we turn the mic over to you. A nation turns its lonely eyes to you. What do you got?
I feel very strongly about this. David Montgomery is not, okay, so great. 2 weeks ago, he put up a good game. Okay. Good for him, and that's going to happen sooner or later. But this last week, he got saved by 2 1-yard touchdowns.
He did?
Correct.
They had Tariq Cohen out there on first and goal trying to get in the end zone with him before they put David Montgomery out there. The only reason he got in the end zone is because Tariq Cohen could not get it done. Why on earth would the Bears put Tariq Cohen at 5'7", 160 pounds, on a first and goal when they have David Montgomery unless they don't think that David Montgomery is going to be enough to be the guy? I don't understand
Daniel,
it.
I have a question for you.
I feel like you're questioning offensive genius Matt Nagy.
Yeah, he
head coach of the 3-5 Chicago Bears.
How much time have you spent watching the Bears so far?
More than I wish that I had.
So then why are you surprised by this?
I don't understand.
It's a completely dysfunctional offense.
Like, it really is.
Take this time now.
It's so dysfunctional, I'm surprised it's not in Washington.
Take this time right now where he has had two good fantasy weeks based on the box score and try and sell him as hard as you can to somebody in your league that needs a W and get a player that's on bye that is better than David Montgomery.
Eat that W.
You know what? Hey, let's role play here for a little second,
okay,
Daniel.
Sure.
You know, let's finally do it on camera.
Yeah, hold on, let me get my blindfold.
Yeah. No. That's the stuff off camera. I'm saying let's you and I finally role play for once. Here in front of other people.
This is a family program. Can I just check my phone during this?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's pretend I'm a David Montgomery
manager.
Let's pretend you are, okay. And I'm just in your league. I'm like, hey, Daniel. I need some running back help. I noticed you got a couple of guys there.
Sure.
Anyone you'd be willing to trade?
Yes, I'd be willing to trade David Montgomery.
What would you want for him?
I would take Marvin Jones for David Montgomery right now.
I don't know. Marvin Jones is doing really well, and I heard this podcast the other day where you said he was really lucky.
That David Montgomery was really lucky?
Yeah, that he.
You listen to that podcast?
I do.
Feel like not very many people listen to it.
My girlfriend likes it, and she makes me listen to it.
Yeah, okay. First off, the biggest lie in this role play is that you have a girlfriend. We all know that's not true.
It's my sister, fine.
Okay. What is it that you want? I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're not. Look, he averaged 2.9 yards per carry, right? 14 for 40, ultimately 17 touches. What you hang your hat on here, however, is that here's a guy that does get the goal line work. Your point about they're not, Mitchell Trubisky doesn't run anymore. Mike Davis is, you know, hanging out with a ghost that Sam Darnold saw. Like, I mean, who knows where he is? And so Tariq Cohen is not obviously a goal line back. And so, like, him and Sony Michel are tied for the NFL lead in terms of most carries inside an opponent's 5-yard line. David Montgomery, like, saw it against the Redskins where they gave him like 5 tries. Like, for better or for worse, he is their goal line back. He's the one that he's going to get. 41 carries over the last 2 games here. Has he been efficient? He is absolutely not efficient.
No.
Not even close.
No.
But this is so I guess it depends on what value you think you could get for David Montgomery. I agree with you. If somebody's willing to give you Marvin Jones, like, sure. I think he's a cross your fingers and hope flex play. I mean, I think he's a poor man, Sony Michel. I think that's actually a great combination. A great call actually there, right?
So I think he's a poor man's Melvin Gordon right now is what he
maybe
is.
Maybe that's also a good call. Like he's used a little bit more in the passing game than Sony Michel is. Why
would you want Sony Michel more than David Montgomery? Am I missing something here?
I just think that's a better offense that's got much more opportunity to score. Like, yeah, obviously a bad game for him against Baltimore last night, but yeah, I would absolutely rather have Sony Michel than David Montgomery.
Really?
Yeah,
let's
I just,
do it. All right, okay.
Rest of season board bet.
Let's do it.
Sure, I'll do that.
Okay.
More fantasy points from week 10 on. I say Sony Michel.
I say David Montgomery has more fantasy points than Sony Michel from week 10 on.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
I just don't think David Montgomery is particularly good.
I think this offense is completely awful,
and I think.
The offense is brutal. Just all I'm saying is shop the box score. The other person doesn't need to know they were 2 1-yard touchdowns.
All right, let's move along here to Jalen Samuels, who had a varied Austin Eckler-like fill-in performance for James Conner yesterday. Jalen Samuels had 13 catches, I believe, for what, 74 yards yesterday? That's got to be one of the lowest yardage totals for a player with 13 or more catches. Very Jamison Crowder-esque of him.
73. 8 carries for just 10 yards.
Right.
Meanwhile, Trey Edmonds, 12 for 73. Now, a lot of that came in that 45-yard run, but still, Trey Edmonds was the much more effective runner between the tackles yesterday than Jalen Samuels.
And that's just fine, Matthew, as long as you play in PPR scoring, because for as long as James Conner is out, and I want everybody to go back and look at Sunday morning reporting from Adam Schefter and know that the Steelers did, in fact, poke around on Le'Veon Bell.
That's crazy to me. And I'm not questioning Schefty. The story is crazy to me after everything the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell went through, and the Steelers, who at the time were 3-4, poking around on
Anyway.
Shocking to me. The whole thing's shocking to me. But listen, I totally trust Schefty. If Schefty says it happened, it happened.
So can I get through my thought now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. The reason why I brought that up is because you would not be poking around on Le'Veon Bell if you did not have legitimate concern about James Conner missing not just a game, but potentially a significant amount of time, maybe
Correct.
Multiple games. So I think this Jalen Samuels value is not just yesterday's performance. I think it could be at least week 10 and perhaps beyond. I think for as long as James Conner is out, Jalen Samuels is a top 12 running back, top 15, because of the passing game volume.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a fluke. This is exactly what you hoped for out of Jalen Samuels yesterday.
100%.
Excellent pass catcher who got plenty of involvement in an offense that, while we can both probably agree that Duck Hodges should be starting, right now it's Mason Rudolph, and they have virtually zero vertical passing game right now. Like,
no,
this should stay
brutal.
The same.
It is very dink and dunk there. And by the way, look at their upcoming schedule. So Rams this week at home,
yep.
Games in Pittsburgh. So Rams this week, then at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, Cleveland again. That's a real nice stretch of run defenses that you would get. Right. And then, by the way, you think about the Rams, specifically that defensive front. Like, if you're Mason Rudolph and Aaron Donald is coming down to you, what are you doing? You're dumping off to Jalen Samuels.
I'm there. Now, Daniel, one question was posed. Should you be selling Jalen Samuels, the person who rosters James Conner? Maybe, but it would have to be for a really good player in return. And I'm not sure that the person who has James Conner right now is in a position where they can afford to trade another really good running back because they're already down one with Conner. Now I get it. You'd be getting Jalen Samuels. So it'd be a 1-for-1 trade, but like it would have to be somebody that you believe has like top 20-ish value week to week.
But this is why we talk about, we talked about Jalen Samuels as a pickup like, 2 weeks ago when we're like, hey, he's starting to practice and he'll come back at some point. And
forward thinking. Yeah.
Forward thinking. So we've been talking about this for a while, but, the thing is, with Benny Snell now banged up and he's gonna miss a few weeks, it is Jalen Samuels and Trey Edmonds. I think Trey Edmonds should make your waiver wire column
13
as well.
13 carries though, but like what was the passing game involvement?
Almost none. Zero. He didn't catch none whatsoever.
So he has 11 carries for 27 yards.
Other than the 45 yarder. Yeah.
So I'm just not quite there yet. By the way, but I think the bigger point, or one of the other takeaway points here, is that, and I know it's really hard to do this right now with 6 teams on a bye for week 10, but like look around. If you have a flexible bench spot, if Alexander Mattison is sitting there floating, if Tony Pollard's sitting there floating, if an elite handcuff is sitting there floating right now and you can afford to add that player.
We've been talking about that. I am pro handcuff. There are people that are not, but
saying I don't care. Even if you don't have those players, like I don't care if you have Dalvin Cook. I don't care if
Alexander Mattison needs to be 100% rostered.
Right,
we 100%
because
we both agree on
go
this.
Go grab him.
We've been talking about this for weeks.
If something happens to Dalvin Cook, he's a top 5 running back, top 8 running back.
Tony Pollard. Same thing.
Correct.
Tony Pollard. We saw what like Latavius Murray did when Alvin Kamara went out. Like there are these guys where you know if something were to happen. Same game. Like I'll even mention like if I had Marlon Mack, I would want Jordan Wilkins, given how run heavy the Colts offense is. Last thing for me on the Steelers game real quickly, which is signs of life from Vance McDonald. 5 for 37 targets again with that short passing attack that they have in Pittsburgh, and Vance McDonald finally back healthy and looking like Vance McDonald again. He's been dropped in a lot of leagues, and just given the state of the tight end position, I do think Vance McDonald is sort of interesting.
Devontae Adams made his return yesterday for the Packers after 4 games missed. Now, the offense really, really struggled yesterday, obviously. A forgettable Sunday for them out there in Los Angeles. Devontae Adams got 11 targets in his return. Going forward, Matthew, is every other Packers wide receiver just droppable at this point? Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Geronimo Allison, Alan Lazard, all of those guys, can you say goodbye to them?
They already were.
Okay.
They shouldn't have been rostered in the first place. I mean, like, how many weeks of, like, I don't know, do we need to go through? Like, the pass catchers on the Packers that you want, Devontae Adams.
Yes.
Aaron
Jamal
Jones.
Williams. Okay, yeah.
Jamal Williams.
Correct. Yeah.
Jimmy Graham, I suppose, if you're super desperate at tight end. You know I'm not a Jimmy Graham fan these days.
Why would you want him? No more than 30 receiving yards in 6 of 9 games this season. He has one game with more than 4 catches.
Yeah, he's been brutal.
Yeah.
He's gotten a couple touchdowns. But whatever. I mean, tight end is just such a wasteland.
They stink, of course.
But I just said, like, the only Packers pass catchers, the only players that are involved in the Packers passing game, not named Aaron Rodgers, that I feel comfortable starting in any given week, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams.
Right. And by the way, Jamal Williams kind of saved late. Actually, neither running back was awesome early. But Jamal Williams got a great garbage time drive under his belt late. They were down 26-3.
Yep.
They kept him on the field. They hurried it up. They picked up the tempo. He ended up catching the touchdown. I love that from Jamal Williams, a guy that is such an effective part of their passing game when they are playing from behind. And not that I expect them to be vulnerable often, but as we saw yesterday, there can be games where the Packers can be tested.
Just a name I want to put on people's radars, if you're in a very deep league, a dynasty league, a keeper league, they activated, the Packers over the weekend, activated, or last week, their tight end Jay Sternberger.
Yep.
Who is awesome. Like, just, I'm just telling you guys, as somebody that watches a lot of Texas A&M football, because that's where I grew up, and so I don't watch a ton of college football during the season, but Jay Sternberger's awesome. And I don't know if he makes an impact at all this year, but at some point in the NFL, he will.
I hope so. Third round pick, as you just mentioned, really, really intriguing player, given his size and his hair. It's very nice. Trust me. It's been an absolutely miserable stretch for Odell Beckham and Keenan Allen, who are averaging respectively 12 points per game for Odell, 8.4 for Keenan Allen. Two questions. Are they even must starts anymore? That's question one.
A great question. And the fact that I'm even pausing to answer tells you candidly what you need to know. Like, if you looked at their stats, if all you did was, if you took away the name and just said wide receiver A and wide receiver B.
Yeah, blind, like, resume stuff, right?
Yeah, blind resume stuff. No. Odell Beckham Jr. is probably, I think Keenan Allen over the last 5 weeks, I think is somewhere in the wide receiver 50 something.
Yeah. I mean, last 6 games, he's averaging 8.4 fantasy points per game over a 6-game stretch. It's not like this is just 2 weeks where it's right. Like, keep rolling him out there.
That's
like,
Keenan Allen. Yeah. Last six games.
Odell.
By the way, last year, 8.4 fantasy points. That's what Keenan Allen have averaged over the last six. Keenan Allen has averaged 8.4 fantasy points per game over the last 6 games. That would have been wide receiver 70 last year. On a points per game basis. Wide receiver 70.
Yeah. Can I for a second?
Bye.
I know Keith won't do this. Odell Beckham Jr. entered the league as somewhat like, I don't say an unknown, but when you get drafted 12th or 13th overall, the expectations are not the same as they were for other wide receivers in that class, including Sammy Watkins, who went 4th overall of the Buffalo Bills, in which they traded up from 8 to 4.
Right.
Made a big move to get him, right?
Yeah, Sammy Watkins was the prospect coming out of college.
He was the prodigious wide receiver talent that we thought was going to make his mark on the league. Odell Beckham Jr. is one of the most enjoyable players to watch over his 5 seasons with the New York Giants. Even with the ups and downs, the injuries, the highs and lows, the frustration, the sometimes petty drama. He was fun, though.
Sure.
He was so fun. I enjoyed it. I got legitimate, like, worth the price of admission enjoyment out of Odell Beckham Jr.
You bet.
Of all the things the Browns have done wrong this year, and we don't have enough time in this podcast to list all of them, but somehow this team has found a way to make a player of Odell Beckham Jr.'s caliber and completely unenjoyable to watch. It's not Odell's fault. Not his fault at all. It's them. And if I want to, if somebody from the Browns wants to retort, well, you know, he's getting so much attention. He's drawing all this attention. You know what? It doesn't seem to be helping the offense elsewhere. It's not like it'd be one thing if Odell was getting attention all over the place and everybody else was lighting it up. They stink. They're terrible right now. Yeah. I miss Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah. I miss the player that was every young fan's favorite player, favorite wide receiver, the top jersey seller. And I get it. He's still all of those things, still a top jersey seller. What happened to Odell? What have you done with Odell Beckham Jr., Cleveland? Why have you done this? What in your game plan mindset week to week makes you think that what you have done through the first 8 games is anywhere close to enough? Shame on you. Seriously, you have totally neutralized the excitement of one of the players that truly, over the past, I don't know how many players, the list might be one hand's worth, that I have enjoyed watching more than Odell Beckham Jr. for the last 10 years. Thank you for nothing, Cleveland.
It's unbelievably disappointing. I mean, my biggest preseason miss, and I think it's not close, and I had a few, but the biggest one was being sort of all in on the Browns. I was all in on Odell Beckham Jr. I was all in on Baker Mayfield. I was all in on both guys. The Nick Chubb love has worked out, but Baker and Odell Beckham Jr., just as bad a call as you could make. Like, I was all in on them, and I wasn't the only one. A lot of people obviously had them very high, but like, I was all in on them and couldn't have been more wrong. Like, it's unbelievable. And, you know, I think you have to, on some level, you know, I blame Freddie Kitchens. I blame that offensive coaching staff. They lost to Brandon Allen.
Dude, they lost five straight games to quarterbacks making their NFL debut. Five! Their starting debut, Brandon Allen, Kirk Cousins, and Andy Dalton all the way back in 2012. Ryan Mallett in 2014, and after Carson Wentz in 2016. Five straight times, a guy's making his first ever NFL start. Lose, 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 and lose. Anyways.
Too bad the Redskins couldn't have played him in Dwayne Haskins' first start.
I'll put this, you know what, Matthew? I'll say this.
Yep.
As much as it hurts, I'm still starting both of these players. And if it bites me just in the rear, that's fine. It's just
the upside is there.
You'd have to be in a really swell spot to not be starting. Look, both of those guys.
Beckham got a 39-yard catch late, which sort of helps salvage it, but ultimately winds up with 5 for 87, which is fine. It's not great, but, you know, he's like, there's actually been more signs of life from Beckham than there has been from Keenan Allen recently. Their upcoming schedule, the Browns, home to Buffalo, home to Pittsburgh, home to Miami. So 3 straight home games, maybe Lord, they
can't get it right now.
Yeah, jeez. Maybe. But I will say, you know, they're probably not going to make a change, but midseason. But it feels like something's got to change. I will say, last thing is Will Brinson. Our mutual friend Will Brinson does
He's
a great
hilarious.
Job. Did you see that tweet? So follow him on Twitter at Will Brinson.
His tweet was hilarious.
His tweet is hilarious. So he tweeted this. So you can follow him on Twitter at Will Brinson.
Really funny.
And what he did is basically the tweet is, you know, what 18 months as a Cleveland Brown will do to you. And the first picture is Baker Mayfield on the day.
Like GQ Baker Mayfield. GQ. Really cleanly shaved, or, you know, like has got a cool stubble, like looks like
big
a million
smile,
bucks. Great. Yes.
Looks great. And then the second picture is his postgame press conference yesterday where he was like in sort of raggedy clothes and he's got a weird mustache. I thought it looked like
one of the robbers from Home Alone. Am I the only person that thought that?
No, that was a good call.
That is good too.
Someone else, I want to say it was our friend Sigmund Bloom. Somebody else like tweeted that photo and said, what is this? Somebody asked, like, what does this person do for a living? And someone, I think Sigmund Bloom tweeted, this guy is a shower curtain ring salesman. Sort of looked like John Candy in Plane, Trains, and Automobile.
That was a good call, too.
But, yeah, I mean, like, it's unbelievable sort of the – and, by the way, am I the only one that saw this? Like, I feel like I saw pictures of Baker Mayfield on the bench during the game, and he had a Fu Manchu.
He shaved after the game.
And he shaved twice yesterday.
He shaved twice yesterday.
What's going on? Like, Baker.
I've shaved twice in the past six months, and Baker shaved twice yesterday.
Yeah, I mean.
Can I ask a question? Can I just get back to football. Is there any chance that you're buying low on either of these two players? Do you think that there are greener days ahead, or the offense is so bad that even for the fantasy playoffs, you're like, I don't want to put this much stock into them?
I'm always buying low on players.
Yeah.
I'm almost always. Now, listen. It depends. So buying low is obviously a matter of like who you would be trading to acquire one of
those
players. Of course,
relative.
But yeah, I'd say speaking generally, I would buy low. So I'm trying to think of like somebody that's kind of hot right now that has played well of late that you might be able to legitimately
Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones has said big games in two of the last three.
Weirdly, I would.
Would you trade, like, if somebody said, like, I'll give you Keenan Allen for Marvin Jones, you doing that deal?
I'd probably take Keenan.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I will say this about Keenan Allen. At Oakland next week, then
Thursday
home
night. Yep.
Yep. And then, so that's the Thursday night game this week. So at Oakland this week, it's a secondary that obviously can be exploited.
Yep.
Then Kansas City in Mexico City. So that'll be a fun game against the Chiefs. Then there's a bye week, then they're at Denver.
Yep.
Okay. And what I thought was encouraging about the Chargers is, like, the offensive line has played better, right?
Yep.
Okung is back, and the offensive line has played better the last 2 weeks. Melvin Gordon finally looked like Melvin Gordon yesterday.
Yep.
It wasn't a great Keenan Allen game, and maybe some of the volume has been detracted because of Hunter Henry and his emergence, or his return,
sure.
I should say.
Yep.
So the middle of the field is taken a little bit, but Keenan Allen is too talented.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I know we're sort of running ourselves in circles. Let's just quickly go through a few other players, Matthew, and I'm going to mention their performance, and if there's legitimate cause for concern that you think you want to do something about it, tell me. Otherwise, I'm just going to list them and we can just move on. Stephon Diggs, one catch for 4 yards, one carry for 12 yards.
No, brutal, but I'm. Yep. I think it was just one of those games.
Kansas
City has been good against perimeter receivers this year.
Allen Robinson, 1 for 6 against a bad Eagles secondary.
Ugh, and on the love list, too. Come on, A-Rob. Again, I think that was a sort of, it's a little bit of concern because of Trubisky, but ultimately, I want to see it. I want him to be bad for another game before I panic.
DJ Chark, four catches, 32 yards in London. They go on a bye next week.
Yeah, not panicking yet about either. I will say I'm a little concerned that there is a bit of a Field Yates curse. Field Yates and his hairy legs on Instagram.
Stop shaming!
I'm just saying, like, I feel like
they're nice.
Like Gardner Minshew and DJ Chark.
No one has talked about how
crushing,
I have large, like, calves. It's too much about the hair. I have very round, supple calves. No one talks about that.
That's a drop from, please someone pull that.
I have very round, supple calves.
Yeah, Lee Martin, if you're listening, Lee, like, we need that for an endgame drop. But yes, all I know is, before Field dresses Gardner Minshew with his creepy hairy legs, Gardner Minshew, DJ Chark, and the Jags offense was rolling along, was humming. Then Field dresses at Minshew, you know, displays his unnaturally hairy legs to the world, and then they completely bomb.
Unnaturally not hairy head to the world every day. So don't shame me. Okay?
I know, but with my balding head out there, Gardner Minshew and DJ Chark had performed. It wasn't until
Darren Waller,
you're like, I'm just saying.
You got to keep it rolling here. Darren Waller,
last question. Just last question, then we can move on. True or false? Chapin sleeps in, like, long pajamas to cover her legs.
False.
So that there's no...
False.
I'm not sure. I think I know what I'm getting Chapin for Christmas. She probably doesn't want to do it to hurt your feelings.
Probably a MeUndies onesie. Is that what you're
something
saying,
like,
Matthew?
Yeah, some sort of onesies or something like that. Just so that, like, because, you know, when you're sleeping together, when you're in the same bed, like, legs will roll on each other and that kind of thing. And just, like, you know... Chapin can't get good night's sleep.
Chapin's like, when did we get a dog? Oh,
right.
Sorry, that was just Field.
Yeah,
sorry,
exactly.
He just brushed against me.
Yeah. I have to assume that's what it is.
I shouldn't have piled on Field. I apologize about that.
Are you getting that? That's so cute. That's be great. Darren Waller, 2 for 52 yesterday.
I'm a little nervous.
Really?
Second bad game in a row for Darren Waller. And what's concerning here is he only got 2 targets. In a game in which Derek Carr played well, in a game in which the Raiders were throwing and they put up 31 points in this game, Darren Waller got 2 targets.
They just signed him an extension. It's like now he's not playing well. Like, what is going on?
I'm not saying that he's not playing well. Listen, there's a difference. Like, teams are identifying him as the threat they need. Like, if Hunter Renfrow beats us, if Marcel Aitman beats us, we'll take our chances with Zay Jones or Foster Moreau. But no, we're making sure we know that Waller is a baller. We're going to try to take him out of this game. Like
Waller Z baller.
I'm a little nervous. Like, he was 2 for 52, but on 2 targets. Foster Moreau gets in the end zone once again, vultures him. Look, you're still starting Darren Waller, but am I a little concerned? I am a little bit. Eyebrow raised a little bit here. A
little bit.
Two bad games in a row.
But I really, like, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, I'm still starting him. I am certainly not, I mean, you can't, obviously not dropping him. Like, yeah, I'm less concerned.
You could trade him.
You could
still trade him while he's still considered to be, like, he was the number, when you think about this matchup with Detroit.
You have him in the War Room League.
I have him in, like, I'm in 16 leagues. I think I am in 11.
So we're in the War Room League together. Let's talk about a Darren Waller trade after this.
All right.
Start looking around.
Sure.
We're going to take a quick break and talk about the Chiefs on the other side. But first, a clip from our friends, well, maybe friends, over at the Fantasy Show.
Daniel's a friend of yours.
That's a good point.
Fantasy, you in the 06010.
Breaking news from my wife, because I don't want to, like, I refuse to be internet shamed and then podcast shamed in the same span of, like, 3 days.
Okay. Chayton,
lovely, the incomparable.
She's a great woman, and she is a great wife to you. Go ahead. She texted during
she
the break.
Because she is watching the show live, of course, on the ESPN app, through the watch tab, or other methods. And she texted me to say, PSA, your legs aren't that hairy. Moreover, you have huge calves.
Right.
I love them, and I don't want to wear long pants to bed.
We're going to get her some long pants, and we'll just see.
No,
we'll just see what happens. We'll see if they get used or not.
Yeah, that's
what,
you know, designer
jeans? No pressure. No pressure. I'm just going to give her some, like, some comfy, you know.
Get her some designer jeans. That sounds great.
Some
awesome.
Comfy sweats or some, like, a MeUndies onesie or something. Like, we'll find something cute.
I'm sure MeUndies has some sort of, like, lounge pants or something.
Yeah,
I'll bet they do.
Well, okay. something cute and comfy for her so she doesn't have to lie to her husband. Listen, she's doing what a good wife would do. That she's very supportive. Like, she's a supportive wife,
yeah,
which is awesome.
Listen, in life, there are reachers and there are settlers.
I understand.
Chapin settled for me.
100%.
I got lucky. I won the lottery.
You did.
Yeah, sweet.
One of the reasons we get along is you and I are both married to settlers. All right. So let's
couple more topics here. So the Chiefs running backs.
ZipRecruiter first, right?
Nope, not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
The Chiefs yesterday had an interesting shift in terms of the running back. So Damian Williams had 11 carries for 128 yards and a touchdown, plus two catches for 3 yards. Now, 89 of those yards came on one long carry, just a breakthrough run. LeSean McCoy, 3 carries for 9 yards with one catch for 0 yards, Matthew. And we asked this question going into last week. Hey, do we think that the Chiefs would just go back to LeSean McCoy after the fumble the week before? And we sort of didn't know. I mean, who knows,
sure,
right? The only people that would know would be Andy Reid.
I mean, look,
Copying the things.
Yeah, I know. I feel like
it happens, dude. We asked the question. We didn't know.
No, I know. Cause you know what? Like, well, cause here's the thing. Cause like when I'm happy about a good call, like when I made good, like we had really good calls and, you know, on the Chiefs and like, you know, and whatever. I've had a lot of good calls. And so, but if I'm going to pat myself on the back when I mentioned like my bold call was Jordan Howard, 80 yards and touchdown against the Bears and he gets 80 yards and touchdown. If I'm going to pat myself on the back and give myself credit for good calls, I got to take it on the chin for bad calls. I got to cop to that. And so anyway.
All right.
That's my attitude.
I see it differently, but that's just how
anyway,
each
whatever.
Of us.
We'll move on here and just say that, like, no, there was uncertainty based on the matchup of the Vikings, the uncertainty we'd seen in the backfield, and candidly, their ineffectiveness. It made complete sense to fade the entire Chiefs backfield. And that the thought process was that if you had to start one, we would understand why you would start McCoy over Williams just because he had been getting more work recently prior to the fumble. And I feel like one of the reasons why there was kind of this running back by committee is because Andy Reid was waiting, like the rest of the fantasy world, for somebody to step up. Like, somebody show me something. And neither running back, and that includes Darrell Williams, so none of the three had stepped up in a significant way, right? And so, but now, Damian Williams with that 91-yard run, and overall is very effective, 12 for 125. He catches a few balls, you know, as well, as opposed to LeSean McCoy, 3 for 9. Look. You know, I feel like, how do you not go back to Damian Williams after this performance? Over the last 5 quarters, and obviously this includes, you know, post-fumble of McCoy last week, over the last 5 quarters, Damian Williams has played 57 snaps, LeSean McCoy has played 6.
So, all of that, I agree with, everything you've said. However, here's what I think this one ends up as.
Okay.
I think this is one of those backfields that goes where the wind blows it week to week, right?
Yeah.
That right now, it's Damian Williams' job. But you know what happens if Damian Williams struggles or Damian Williams fumbles is, hey, LeSean McCoy, you're back in, right? Coaches care not about our fantasy teams, right? I mean,
they don't owe us
anything. So right now, I feel confident in Damian Williams. It's right. November 4th.
When our rankings come out tomorrow, you'll have Damian Williams significantly higher than LeSean McCoy.
Correct. Yep.
Same will I.
Yep.
And it is worth noting that before the 91-yard touchdown run, that Damian Williams had an 8-3 carry edge over McCoy. So, like, it's not like the guy had one big run and they're like, oh, let's keep feeding him. Like, he was, you know, almost
LeSean
triple.
McCoy, he's played 6 snaps over the past 5 quarters, LeSean McCoy.
Yeah. I was just saying, yeah.
Yeah.
So they play at Tennessee next week. There is a chance that Patrick Mahomes plays in this game. He was seems like he was sort of a game time decision.
Yeah,
this
it feels week like there's a chance. Yeah, for sure.
So and obviously that would raise up the entire value of all Chiefs pass catchers. That includes Damian Williams. I feel like in addition to getting more clarity on the Chiefs running back situation, we definitely got clarity on the Bills running back situation, which won me a board bet. Thank you, Devin Singletary.
I thought I had, didn't I have Devin Singletary over Frank Gore? Oh.
You did not.
I misremembered
you
that.
You supported
one.
Frank Gore.
Devin Singletary, 20 carries for 95 yards and a touchdown with 3 catches for 45 yards, 23 fantasy points. Frank Gore tried his best to not score a touchdown on 3 straight carries from the 1 yard line. 11 carries for 15 yards, just 1.5 fantasy points here. Over the past 2 games, Matthew, it's a decided edge in terms of snaps played, yardage, not necessarily carries, but yardage plus catches. This one has netted out, Matthew, where I think we expected it would after LeSean McCoy was cut by the Bills right before the season began. Devin Singletary, the clear-cut workhorse in this backfield.
He is. He's got such big playability. You know, we talked about this. Devin Singletary was on the love list coming into the week as well. And so Singletary, who has, you know, more explosiveness. And by the way, if you watch this game, towards the end of the game when they were trying to salt it away when they had the lead, it was all Devin Singletary, and he gets into the end zone towards the end of the game. Last 2 games, he's played 66% of the offensive snaps, and their upcoming schedule field, at Cleveland, at Miami, home to Denver, at Dallas. Dallas and Denver aren't great matchups, but they're not ones that totally scare you, and certainly Cleveland and Miami are 2 teams that you can run on significantly well. So, looks really good here for Devin Singletary, and my guess is he's not 100% rostered. He's probably close to 80 or something like that. He's way too, you know,
go
he's
take
not
a look.
Eligible
because
for
because he was hurt. Go take a look.
Yeah, it's just it's worth noting there. But yeah, I
wow,
think,
shockingly, and he's at 66.5%. What are we doing, people?
Come on.
Seriously.
Come on. So anyway, if Devin Singletary is available in your league for some reason, he is the number one clear-cut pickup. There's no question about that as well. And I would be okay dropping Frank Gore.
Yeah. If you need the roster spot, I'm okay with it. I mean, I wouldn't do it just like, you know.
Just to be mean to Frank
out of
Gore?
Disrespect. Yeah. Right. If you need the roster spot, I think there are other players, especially with 6 teams on a bye, that carry more value now and going forward than Frank Gore. Yeah. Same question, by the way, on the Buccaneers backfield.
Right.
Do we get some clarity there? Has there been a changing of the guard? Because Ronald Jones, 18 carries for 67 yards and a touchdown, 2 catches for 15 yards.
Yeah, like who starts Ronald Jones? And I'll tell you who. I'll tell you exactly who starts
Ronald
Jones.
Someone you're playing against?
Yeah, Jeff Wheatley. In our War Room League, Jeff Wheatley, who's the coordinating producer of Fantasy Football Now.
Yeah.
Great fantasy player. But come on, Wheat, why are you starting Ronald Jones?
Well,
stupid Ronald Jones.
A couple questions. Who are the other options? And did this decide the matchup?
No, he just crushed me like a grape. Like, he had everyone. He has McCaffrey. He had McCaffrey. So
it
was just like, he has McCaffrey. He had Edelman, but he got 16 points out of Ronald Jones and like, whatever. He has Edelman. He has a good team. And, Stephon Diggs, thanks. 1 for 4. Like, what are you doing to me, Stephon Diggs? So yeah, Diggs, between Diggs and Ronald Jones, that was enough to put him over the edge. Like, I almost survived because I have Devin Singletary in that league. I have Jalen Samuels in that league, but I almost survived Christian McCaffrey, but it was just too much. Anyway, but the fact is like, I was just like, I wasn't worried when I was looking at Wheat's lineup. You know, you're always worried about McCaffrey and he has Edelman. There were a couple guys that I was worried about. I wasn't worried about Ronald Jones, and I should have been yesterday as well. 18 for 67 and a touchdown. He caught 2 passes, 15 yards, 16.2 fantasy points. Without looking at it, my guess would be that's his best fantasy day of the season. It's either his best or his second best.
It's definitely up there. And what we see though, like I think we have seen a clear, but again, a changing of the guard here, which I think makes Ronald Jones a player that should be added. He is available in a good, healthy percentage of leagues. He makes the waiver column as well. And
he should.
Again, second round pick last year. This is how this thing should have netted out. He is a better talent than Peyton Barber.
Correct.
It's no surprise that Ronald Jones is being more productive or is more productive right now than Barber.
And does seem Bruce Arians is understanding that, right? His touch count over the last 3 games, 4 to 12 to 20 this past Sunday against the Seahawks. The last time, Thirsty Kyle notes, the last time Peyton Barber had a carry gain more than 8 yards, that was week 2. So there's certainly more explosiveness there with the Buccaneers running backs when Ronald Jones is in the backfield. I was not aware he was available in that many leagues. I agree with you. Ronald Jones should absolutely be picked up.
Before we talk about the Eagles running backs, Matthew, a quick word from you on ZipRecruiter.
I was there. I was already there.
There. You
were
already
there.
You were such
a genius.
I'm sorry.
I was about ready to do, you know, another one of those bad segues. Like what I was going to say is
do it,
I was going to say,
like
I said,
happened.
The so the Buccaneers, it feels like Bruce Arians has discovered Ronald Jones gives him more explosiveness. But if you're not Bruce Arians, you understand hiring can be a slow process.
Yeah.
Much like it was.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh
my God! So
shut
good.
It down! Whoa!
Much like it took a while for Ronald Jones to become the starting running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it can take a while. Cafe Altura's COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. Just like Bruce Arians was having trouble finding somebody to be the right running back for him. So Dylan Miskowitz switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experiences and invites them to apply to your job. So you get qualified candidates and you get them fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidates rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it is no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. Once again, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. It's ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Great job by you. You really nailed that live read. Well done by you, Mr. Matthew Bitterberry.
Still on the Bitterberry for
one
having to face
more
Ronald
backfield
Jones.
That we're wondering on. Did we get some clarity on the Eagles running backs in week 9? Here are the numbers. Jordan Howard, 19 carries for 82 yards plus a touchdown. Nice call by you. Miles Sanders, 10 carries for 42 yards plus 3 catches for 31 yards. A 38-30 snap edge for Howard over Sanders. Or is this one a little bit more up in the air than you might sort of have anticipated going into this game?
See, I think it's Jordan Howard.
Okay.
I think Jordan, look, Sanders has had some big plays. Like, you know, listen, 5 straight games with 3 or more receptions. He had 10 carries in this one. That's more than he had in any game in October. So you're starting to see a little bit more Miles Sanders. But by the way, Jordan Howard has not only played a lot, he's played well. Like, you watch these games, and as the Eagles' passing offense has been inconsistent, they've been able to run the ball very, very well. Again, this was, you know, a matchup against the Bears. Again, this was my bold call on Fantasy Football Now. I called 80 yards rushing and a touchdown for Jordan Howard. He finishes with 82 yards rushing and a touchdown. He also caught one ball for one pass. 15.3 fantasy points for you. Jordan Howard certainly paid off yesterday. And so, yeah, for me, I just feel like it's a very good offensive line. It's an offense that's going to score a lot. Jordan Howard, even though he doesn't have a ton of passing game usage, even though Miles Sanders is still there, I think Jordan Howard is being used enough and has enough touchdown upside that he's a very viable running back too.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. They're on a bye this week. They have a somewhat difficult schedule coming up. Patriots, Seattle, which doesn't scare you as much, but then at Miami. I guess, I'm sorry, I misread Miami. I thought it was Minnesota. So
it's 2 bad games. Can't use him this week because he's on a bye, and then yeah. Next week you don't love him against New England.
I think maybe
but,
like borderline RB2 or flex plays where I think we're at with Jordan Howard. He has run really effectively. You know, could use the Jordan Howard right now? The Bears, who traded him away for a bag of peanuts and a 6-round draft pick.
That
I think it actually might have been a Jordan Howard and a 6th for a 5th. Feels like a win for the Philadelphia
Jordan Howard, like he was somebody that we talked about in the preseason that we liked a lot that we thought was being underdrafted, a guy that had 9 rushing touchdowns each of the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we thought he would get there this year, and he's on his way. Getting there and perhaps exceeding it with Philadelphia. My expectation is that he will.
So Mohamed Sanu had a first full week to prepare for the Patriots with
the
Patriots
today. Props to you, Field Yates, because I doubted Mohamed Sanu would have a fantasy impact. Like, you and I have a board bet on this. Luckily, it doesn't start until next week, so you don't get to count this one.
I think it actually is week 11. So,
was it week 11 or week 10? Oh,
yeah,
it's week 11. Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
They have a bye this upcoming week. So, Mohamed Sanu yesterday for the Patriots. 10 catches, 81 yards, plus a touchdown. I had this conversation with Daniel. You'll see it on Facebook later on today. But not quantifiable thing here, Matthew. What's like the most important word we hear with Tom Brady and his wide receivers?
Trust.
Doesn't it look like already Mohamed Sanu has earned the trust of Tom Brady? It felt like Tom Brady was looking at Mohamed Sanu on every single play or every other play, Edelman or Mohamed Sanu, and that's it right now in that offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of that is what the Ravens gave them, right? You know, but I agree
with
you.
That's fine, but what are teams to give them going forward?
100%. I mean, look, Mohamed Sanu is a professional wide receiver. He's a very good player, and so it's not surprising that he's picked things up fairly quickly. And now, to your point, they're going into the bye. Even more time for Tom Brady and Mohamed Sanu to get on the same page. And look, I don't know that he's always going to get 10 for 81 and a touchdown, but I certainly feel better about Mohamed Sanu's prospects now than I did before. And I just give you props, like, because you called that from the moment that trade happened. So
but there are
kudos
a couple
to
things
you.
Here. I think there are probably ways in which Josh Gordon is more talented than Mohamed Sanu. Okay.
Sure.
But Mohamed Sanu, probably a more sudden player, a little more quickness and agility. Also, the routes run. Like, Josh Gordon's not going to win with a bunch of curls and drags and quick hitches and outs, all those things that Mohamed Sanu was winning with last night. So from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah. Listen, and to your point about it, and just in terms of Tom Brady, who wants, you know, Mohamed Sanu is the kind of professional where you're like, all right, run a 10-yard out. Like, he's going to run a 10-yard out, not a 10.5-yard out, not a 9.5-yard.
Sure, yeah.
He's going to run a 10-yard out. And so...
But a few other factors here that contribute to this.
Yeah.
One, the Patriots are the second pass-heaviest team in the NFL right now. They've been throwing it a ton this season as compared to where they were last year. And the air yards per attempt over the last three seasons for Tom Brady, 8.9 in 2017, 7.6 in 2018, 6.8 in 2019. It's a different offense. It's throwing throwing the football
dink
a ton,
and
dink and dunk, and that certainly bodes well here for Mohamed Sanu. So if you had the chance to recalibrate, I mean, do you think that top 30 is a reasonable expectation? Would you think it's
I do. I do think it's a reasonable expectation. I'm hoping that the variance of the Patriots offense that, you know, again, like, last night was an Edelman and Mo Sanu game, a little bit James White, but there'll be weeks where it's a Sony Michel game. There'll be weeks where it's a Rex Burkhead game, where it's a Philip Dorsett and a Jacoby Myers game. You know, maybe do we see a...
Myers had one, he played one snap last night.
I understand.
I'm just saying, it was...
But that's the Patriots, right? I mean, they're Patriots where guys play one snap and then the next week they're like, I mean, like, sort of the Patriot way.
But it was really weird. I mean, last night was odd. I saw this just from Mike Reese, who tweeted this morning a look at the Patriots snaps, and it was, I want to say, both Mohamed Sanu, Julian Edelman, and Philip Dorsett combined to play like all but one snap. They had a tight end on the field for every play, basically. They played 11 personnel almost all night last night. It was interesting. I've said this. People have asked me about Jacoby Myers and Gunnar Olszewski, who they have kept on the roster, and I think that both of those players fall into this bucket of, if they were waived, somebody would probably claim them, right? Like the Redskins or somebody who has needs, wide receivers would claim them. Are they good enough to consistently be a part of the offense right now? No, but are they potential developmental pieces going forward that you like? Yes, and that, you know, the Patriots have had a lot of success with players like that. So there's sort of this bind right now that, like, they might be active and they might be needed for emergency / injury situations, but week to week, I think the guys are going to clearly be the top three wide receivers of Edelman, Sanu, and Philip Dorsett.
I would agree if you were drafting today for the rest of the season, that's the order they go in for the New England Patriots. But I will say that it does... Like, we've seen this before with New England many, many times. Like, somebody will have a big game
and
then they disappear
have, like,
for
six touchdowns after the bye, right?
Yeah. I mean, just anything's possible, right?
Anything's possible! You know what else is possible? That you can come back tomorrow to watch the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast or listen to it. We will recap Giants and Cowboys. We'll talk waiver wires. We'll talk any kind of news we might have, perhaps some Jacoby Brissett updates, perhaps some other injury updates, perhaps some news around the NFL. We got plenty to get into, including a deeper dive into Josh Gordon's new home with the Seattle Seahawks and what that means for him and his fantasy outlook going forward. Matthew, we got a fantasy show later on today.
Yeah, I do. Just curious, do you think, just real quickly for the game tonight, do you think Evan Ingram can outscore, outscore...
Michael Gallup, right?
Michael Gallup by 34 points?
Yeah. Definitely, in the first half.
Then I haven't lost in War Room yet. Great. Perfect.
Okay, there you have it. So
good.
Tonight, when you tweet what do you need for Monday Night Football Miracle, are you going to respond to yourself?
Yeah, no, I won't. Do you have one for me? You always have one. You always have a...
I've been thinking about it.
Well, in terms of, when I tweet that.
I've got some ideas.
Always fun. Always fun. It's Michael Gallup. Yeah, so they have Michael Gallup. I have... I'm down 34 points. I have Ingram. They have Gallup. So, yes, I just need Evan Ingram to outscore Michael Gallup by 34 points tonight. No big deal. NBD.
All right.
For @FieldYates on Twitter and Instagram, @KeithLipscomb on the Twitter, @SomethingToBreak on IG, and @DanielDopp on Twitter. I am @MatthewBerryTMR on all forms of social media, with the exception of the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely @MatthewBerry. Download it for free. We are back tomorrow. Check out the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. Peace out.
Twitter says he loves college hoops. And talking tribe. Like Shefty and Secret Squirrel, he's a two-phone guy. If you're looking to start a bowling league, he already has a team. The editor of all our